Morning, my name's Jason Ramasamy. I'm one of the partners at Maybridge Community Church, and I haven't spoken to the church in a sort of preaching capacity since the end of 2019. So it's quite weird to be doing this. So please excuse me if there's a slight rustiness to my approach, and also I apologise I haven't shaved for this video, but I'm sure you can forgive that. The important thing is the Bible text. So we're in the middle of a series on Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 13 is the one we're on today. It's about halfway through, almost halfway through Matthew's Gospel. And we're just really enjoying going through each of the little bits of detail and just seeing what naturally comes out of the text. So what I'm going to do now for the next 15 minutes is take you through. Now, this is an online version. It's not going to be as good as if you're in person because there won't be any of the life and the interaction. So I'm just going to try and do the best I can. And hopefully it will be good for you and hopefully it will bless you. But there we go. So Matthew 13, the main point of this passage is I think that Jesus is unlocking insights into the growing kingdom of God. And they're not just insights, they're explosive insights. Jesus is unlocking insights and they're not light, they're not easy. You can't just simply take them on board and they just don't have any impact on you. They really do. And it could be impact for the worse or for the better. And I'll go through that now. So here's the passage, first 10 verses, and we'll get onto the others in a few moments. But there's a really strange thing that happens here. Let me go through this with you fairly quickly. So that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. We're in a situation where there's many, many people have been attracted to Jesus. They're following him around. It's quite a weighty group. And it's a natural opportunity to tell them something important. So he sits in a boat. It's very calm conditions, must be, obviously. And it's like a natural amphitheatre. And there he is. He's going to speak to them. Now, what you get in this passage, it says here, he told them many things in parables. In this passage, there's a whole collection of parables by Matthew. And the parables are essentially word pictures. They play a little bit like sort of short films that you might find on YouTube, where there's just something that is familiar to people's experience. And what's happening is Jesus is using them to unlock insights into the growing kingdom. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. Let's actually get into this parable. So here's the first parable. They're all listening, and there he starts. And he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. So we're in an agrarian culture. It isn't a supermarket Tesco's type culture where everything is removed from the growing process. Everybody has an allotment in this situation. You either know someone who's a farmer or you're a farmer yourself, but you're very closely connected to what you're eating. In some ways, it's kind of a sort of a lovely thing. In some ways, it's quite hard. But whatever, the parable is being set right in that culture. And there's our farmer. So a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60 or 30 times what is sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So here's this parable. It's essentially a farming parable. And everyone knows the kind of thing. A guy's going along, he's got a massive wodge of seeds, he chucks them out. Some of them bounce along the hard path where he's walked along for ages and ages and ages. And they don't go in because it's baked so hard. It's like tough ground. It's not receptive to seeds to go into it. And of course, birds, wildlife are there, who are always looking for a hungry snack. I mean, it's like the kind of seagull culture we've got in Worthing. And of course, if there's a free snack, don't hang around, just grab it. Then the second type is where you have seed actually going in, but it's not got very much root depth to it. It's quite rocky. The roots can't go very far. And it shoots up, and anyone looking at the surface might say, yay, there's like something growing. It's going to be really brilliant. But of course, later on, as the sun gets hot, as it would do in a Middle Eastern country, there's no roots, it can't withstand it, nothing's feeding it from underneath, and therefore it just withers away and dies. Very short life of that plant. And then Jesus is telling more of the story, and you know, imagining people listening to this, is this an emotional story about plants? Maybe it is, maybe you're very emotional as you listen to this.
And there's the seeds go into this third type, and it grows and it seems to be going really well. But then there's something else growing with it, and it's thorns or weeds which grow up and choke it. So its full potential isn't realised. And then this final picture, where you have this amazing picture where just one seed goes into the ground, takes deep roots, it's not hampered by hard ground, its roots drink deeply of the nourishment from within the soil, no thorns or weeds are choking it, and what you get is this fantastic crop, 30, 60 or 100 times. Imagine that one seed. You know, if you could invest £1 and get 100 quid back, or £10 and get £1,000 back, that's why people often do the lottery, isn't it? Well, imagine a human lottery where human hearts receive this word and it just grows. So that's the picture. Everyone sat there, they're really enjoying Jesus' storytelling, even if it's about plants, you know, garden centre type parable, but they're enjoying it. And then Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And at that point, he just stops talking. I mean, he tells them other parables, but he leaves it there. Now, the funny thing is that the disciples have been following Jesus for some time now, and they know something's up. In fact, they know Jesus well enough to say, Jesus, why do you speak to people in parables? And what they're getting at is a slight frustration that they know that Jesus has insights that he's not sharing. In other words, he's giving us the picture, but not the interpretation that underlies it. He's not telling us the full story. And they're saying, you know, we know you've got more for us, Jesus. Are you going to tell us what the rest of it is? And he's like holding off. Now, there's several things I need to say about this, because this is a definite feature of this passage. I could just simply talk about the four types of seed reception and what it means. But because so much time is spent on this point in the passage, it is worth pausing on that here now. So I have two points for this talk. My talk, which is that Jesus is unlocking insights, explosive insights about the kingdom into the growing kingdom of God. My first point is this. It's about them being explosive. And this is why Jesus is holding off giving a full interpretation. And I'm just going to say this. Explosive materials should be treated with great caution. Now, I found this. This happened like 2 weeks ago. And I'm kind of laughing, kind of cringing at it. This school. And it's not the only one. I looked up and there's actually several other similar examples where this has happened. A kid brings in a hand grenade, which turns out to be a decommissioned one. But they end up evacuating this entire school. Can you imagine someone in year 10 turning up with their history homework going, oh yeah, I brought this in from my granddad who was in the Great Escape. And they put this like hand grenade on the desk. Now, any teacher or any adult in their right mind would look at that and just say, everybody get right out. Don't do some sort of try and detonate it yourself by putting a Tupperware lunchbox on top of it or something. And there's this thing and they're basically getting out. And that's correct. Explosive materials should be treated with great caution. Now, what's that got to do with our passage? Well, in our passage, the parables that you find in Matthew 13 are explosive insights. They're insights into the kingdom of God, but they're explosive. And Jesus is treating them with great caution. This is why he's not telling immediately the truth. And there's this whole thing in the Bible about where God's truth has to be dealt with very, very carefully. You have to put careful gloves on. Someone in my position who's teaching it has to be very, very careful that we treat it carefully. We don't add our own thoughts to it. Quite a negative picture, but let's quickly have a look at what Jesus says. The disciples came to him and asked, this is the bit we just read, why do you speak to people in parables? And he replies, he starts to talk about this. Now, the one line I want to really focus on is this one in verse 12. He says this, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So he's like saying you're part of an inner group that have the privilege of knowing. And he says this, whoever has will be given more and they'll have an abundance. In other words, for you people who understand this word and have received it in your life, this is just going to grow so much for you. It's going to really bless you. It's going to be amazing. But, and this is the concern here, whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. There's a concern here that basically, if this goes off like a grenade in a school, it could actually have a devastating effect on you. And then what follows on from there is he basically says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And there's a quote later on where it talks about 700 years before, Isaiah was sent by God to speak to the people, and God said, look, these people, their hearts have grown unresponsive. Their hearts are calloused. It's like dead skin has grown over them. They're no longer receptive to hearing my word. And as a result of them not being receptive, this is going to be like a grenade going off in your face. And Jesus is holding off giving this interpretation that I'm about to give you because God's word needs to be treated with great caution. And I have to ask you this question before I continue. I'm going on a bit here, but I will ask you this question. Do you actually want to hear what God's word says? We live in a very comfortable, for most of us here, in a very comfortable middle-class environment. I know I certainly do. I have everything I could ever want. So much comfort around us. And sometimes the idea of hearing the Bible fits into a part of a kind of a moral, kind of a comfortable lifestyle where we think, yeah, it's all good. And I just want to be reassured about my middle class values. And I'm a moral person and I don't steal things from H&M and all that kind of stuff. You know, the idea of something being an explosive insight, it's not something that we're often ready for. And Jesus holds this caution to us. He points this to us as he did then. Do you actually want to hear? Now, assuming that you are prepared for this explosive insight, I'm going to carry on. Otherwise, you probably still wouldn't be here. I mean, you might have flicked over if this is on YouTube, but whatever. That's your loss, I guess. Here we go. Let's go to the next bit. So my second point is, so the first one is the explosive about the insights being explosive. Now, let's actually have a look at the insights themselves. What is it that Jesus is unlocking? Unlocked insights always change the way we think, feel and live. So Jesus, tell us, what does this parable mean? What's the meaning of it? And to illustrate this, what I want to do is I want to just talk briefly about something called augmented reality. Now, some people get offended when I say virtual reality. Sorry, Theo, but I'm going to say it anyway. But there are these goggles you can put on. Some of you will know this, some of you won't have a clue, but I'll just explain it anyway. There are these computer goggles you can put on that give you an entirely new layer of sight. And you can interact in a kind of virtual three-dimensional world or see things that you wouldn't normally see. And what Jesus is doing here with these parables is he's giving us a pair of GR goggles, God's reality goggles. So by wearing the perspective of the parables, the lenses go over our eyes and we start to see the world we live in a different way. So this is what these insights are, and they always change the way we think, feel and live. So now we're strapped in and we actually are in the inner crowd and we're hearing the interpretation. Tell us some insights, Jesus, and change how we think, feel and live. So let's go for it. He says this, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. He's saying here that the seed stands for the truth and the teaching of the kingdom of God. In this case, where we stand in the year 2021, it's the whole fulfillment of Jesus coming to the world, living a perfect life, dying on the cross and rising from the dead, then ascending into heaven and later to return as the triumphant king to usher in heaven and hell forever. This is the whole message. It's the whole fulfillment of the problem of the human heart and where we came from originally and how our greatest needs and hopes and desires will be fulfilled. It's about God's glory. It's all of this stuff wrapped up into this message. And when this message goes out, it sometimes has a harsh reception. It bounces on the surface of a heart. And the heart is rather like this path, which is baked very hard. Now, why is it that sometimes this word is not received? Well, some people have deep suspicion of Christian truth. They maybe have had negative experiences. Maybe they don't like the idea of there being a God in charge. Maybe they don't trust the Bible. There's all sorts of reasons. Sometimes it's more sinister than that. It's to do with them not liking the person speaking. Maybe there's bitterness. Maybe they've suffered in their life and are filled with all sorts of hurt. And there's all sorts of issues that they can't really get through. There's all sorts of reasons why the seed wouldn't penetrate. But this is saying that if it doesn't go into your heart first time, it may not go at all, because it talks about how there's this evil one, like the birds who are hungry, who snatches the seed away. And this is important for us. Now, contrast this with the end example, which I'll come back to again and again here. Look at the seed falling on good soil. The difference here, there's a U word between the two. Do you see what it is? The word is understanding. With the one, it's not understood. With the other, it's understood, and it goes deep and produces this incredible crop. Now, I've got to say, how does this GR goggle perspective, how does that change the way we think, feel, and live? How does it influence us? How does it change us? Well, the issue for us has got to be, how do we receive God's word in a focused way where our hearts are receptive? What can we do? We can certainly pray for open hearts. We could be looking at questions of bitterness and about the issues that may be how we feel towards other people. Maybe we don't want to receive what they have to say. Maybe there's all sorts of things clogging up our perspective on things. But the importance is, how do we receive it? I'm going to apply that more on the Sunday night and during Sunday when I'm speaking this in person. But I'll leave that with you here because of time. Let's take the second example. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now in this case, the seed goes in and initially it looks as though everything's great. Now I've been around the Christian scene for quite a while now and I've seen many people respond to God's word. And often there's a very joyful response. This is such a blessing. This is what they were looking for. It just feels so wonderful. And yet, here is the result. Tough times come along and there's no roots. The roots aren't deep enough and they end up withering, which is what you would naturally expect. If there's no roots, you are going to wither away and that's the way it's going to work. And here's the thing that I think that this GR reality, this parable, helps us to change how we think, feel and live. When the seed goes into your heart, we need to be about digging down roots deep into God. While the time is come, while you have the opportunity, I think the natural application of this line is this. Find your roots deeply in God. You know, when you're a parent of a young child or young children, you don't get much time. When you're working in a very busy job, you don't get very much time. But there are seasons where you do have opportunity to clear away time and to put down roots into God. Don't let the busyness of life take that chance away, but let's take the time to put down roots deep into God. Now, the Bible talks about our relationship to God in this way. It says, we have access to the very throne room of grace. We have access to the Father through Jesus. He created a doorway by dying for us on the cross. It would cost very great expense. And we do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Father through Jesus by the Spirit. Now, there is an opportunity. We need to be about putting roots deeply into God. Now, in our church at the moment, there are a number of people who are facing life and death situations. And it's very troubling. And many people are praying for them. But here's the situation. The people who are facing these difficulties have been about putting down roots deep into God. And now that the sun is shining and it's scorching them, they're not withering away. They are in fact still going because their roots are in God. Now we want to encourage everybody here to face storms well. Have your roots deep in God. Let's move to the third one. And the third one is, the seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. And the picture here is a very dangerous one. We tend to be a very middle-class church where not everyone is comfortable, but lots of us are. I certainly feel very comfortable a lot of the time. Legitimate, natural, normal things in life clogging up the growth of the fruitfulness of the word of God in our lives. The deceitfulness of wealth. And by deceitful, what it means is it's conning you into thinking that this is your security. The worries of this life, you know, fearing that rather than embracing the warm arms of the Father. You know, we have a Heavenly Father who provides for our needs, but when we live on the fearful edge saying, I'm not sure where the next meal is coming from, then that takes us, that snatches the joy away from saying, Father, I'm hungry, but I trust you for feeding me. And that's where we need to clear away this stuff. Now, I think how this applies to us as believers is this. We have to be about looking at those legitimate things that are around us and being warned that these things could choke our fruitfulness. And in some cases, we may have to lose things and cut them back ourselves. Now, it's lovely. There's a couple in the church at the moment who don't have a home, and they're not comfortable with that. But when in conversation with them the other day, it came up and I was saying, do you know what? You've been spared this, because this isn't a thing that's going to choke you. You've actually had the clearing done for you. Whereas actually what God's doing here is he's warning us. He's saying, for those of you who haven't had it cleared away by him, maybe you need to clear some of this stuff away yourself. You might have to say no to certain things. And the fact is that through all of this, we want to come back to the idea of fruitful seeds landing in rich hearts and being able to really put roots deep down into God and flourish and really bring about a crop, godly Christian lives, good values, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, blessing the world we live in. Goodness knows we need this in the world that we live in. And because of Jesus, this can really begin to take root here and bless others and to fulfill what we were really made for. Look at this last line we finish with. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. We live at the one end of Revelation history. Jesus has been, he's risen, and we wait for him to return. He has ascended into heaven, we wait for him to return and usher in the very end, the final dates on God's calendar. And we sit here looking at these words and we can say, wow, Lord, thank you so much. You have unlocked these insights. May they explode into life in our lives and the lives around us. May they dismantle self-centered, idolatrous behaviour, and may they bring the fruit of the kingdom to bear. Right, that's it. God bless, and I hope for you some of that was helpful.